Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
What is all this sound?
Welcome.
It's sued by Disney.
Welcome to Uncle Joe's Playhouse. Come here, let me smell your hair.
Crazy Uncle Joe. Crazy Uncle. Welcome to the Lion Dog Face Pony Show.
we should totally change the name. Score reports out. It's the Lion Dog Face Pony Show now.
Pony Soldier.
No, the Dog Face Pony Soldier Show. That's right.
There we go. Lion Dog Face Pony Soldier Show.
Yeah.
I think Uncle Joe is not much of a thing, though.
Yeah, not anymore. Uncle Joe and Pocahontas. Well, she certainly came out swinging last night.
She did.
She was on the warpath.
Oh, my God. Did she take scalps?
Jeez.
She scalped Bloomberg.
I think everybody's game plan was to get Bloomberg last night.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the debates.
Yeah, it was like that movie, Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense because you got, it's like, how do I put this? It's like when you're in school and, you got how kids organize themselves in, like, sects. You got the cool kids and you got the jocks and then you got the loser kids.
Hey, there's a middle ground.
And
I went to it.
And it's like when the loser kids get into a fight amongst themselves.
Oh, Alan, don't make fun of the spaz fight. Come on.
You totally know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know
exactly what you're talking about. There's that kid with the lazy eye. And the other kid that you think actually
it's probably a guy thing, Brita. You may not have been exposed to this, but in guy school stuff, it's like at a certain point the biggest losers in school always get into a fight with each other because one of them's determined not to be the biggest loser in school. So I think that's what happened with the Democrats last night. That was.
Yeah. So, are you talking about like a physical fight?
Oh yeah.
It's usually there's like slapping and pushing.
Yeah.
And there's not like fists.
It's not like Stag Night at Sharky's. It's
Stag Night at Sharky's. Did Alan just have a lion dog face pony soldier moment?
No, it's a famous painting.
Stag Night at Sharky's. Yeah,
Google it. Yeah, Google it, Jay.
Okay, all right.
It's a couple of boxers, and one of them just punching the shit out of one of them.
Okay.
And
I still don't know what
you're talking about. Have you ever seen that painting before, Jay?
I have not. I am like art deprived.
It lives at the Cleveland Museum of Art.
That's literally the only reason I know about it.
Okay. Well, at least you're honest about that.
But anyway,
the only art I know is the dogs playing poker.
That's good art. but the Democrat dumpster fire, it kind of reminded me of that. It was like,
oh yeah,
they made no attempt whatsoever at even the pretense of being presidential. It was it devolved into a brawl, basically. I mean, I saw some YouTube clips, and there was. There was like minutes where it was just like cacophony of people just blah, 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 running at the mouth and the moderators trying to, get people to shut up, and they're just yammering. And it's like, Jesus, people, it's talk about none of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even like the downstream candidates like Buttigieg
I looked
Pete,
it up.
Mayor Pete.
I looked it up, Jay. Buttigieg.
Really?
Yes.
I would have never guessed that.
Technically, apparently it's Buttigieg, but if you say it quick enough, it's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg?
Buddha Edge.
Buddha wow. Edge. There, just there think you go. The, you know,
the,
anyway,
the entire Mayor, country Mayor is Pete, pronouncing that.
Mayor Pete decided to go after Amy Klobuchar, like the Karen in the race.
Yeah, like she's in the running.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's like the woman, the loser kids have to fight. To, they, yeah, they're not well, going to fight the top kid. They're going to fight each other to see who's the worst.
Well, that's the problem. There is no top kid.
No, not in that group.
You know, the best you got is, okay, Bernie Sanders is his. He's doing okay. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd call him the front runner. And they're sure as shit not going to let him be the front runner.
Not if they can help it.
I mean, Bloomberg nailed him. You're a socialist with fucking three houses. What the hell?
Yeah, and they all immediately ganged up on Bloomberg because capitalism is awful, apparently.
And what did I read?
Not that Bloomberg knows anything about that.
Only
and one. Warren getting paid $500,000 to teach one class or whatever. Class.
Right.
You know.
Well, again,
I don't know if that's
the
number, but whatever.
It was $350,000 for.
Oh, okay.
That she got by pretending to be a Native American. Remember?
Right.
Again, I was in Massachusetts when she ran and won, and she managed to convince everyone that Scott Brown was the out of touch rich guy, and she was the middle class, and she could have bought and sold. They have several houses in Massachusetts, I think the least of which was $1.5
million. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and Scott Brown was the out-of-touch rich guy.
Mm.
Like, Scott Brown's well off, but the dude put himself through law school by, I believe he was, I want to say Navy.
Well, he sure didn't claim to be an Indian.
No. He did serve, and that's how he got paid for college. Among that, in addition to the modeling.
Really?
Yes. Oh, they made a big deal about that. And I was like, are you like serious about this?
Huh.
Oh my God. No, I just need to, but you know, you can thank Todd Akin for Senator Warren. Anyway,
here's the thing with the Democrat. Here's the thing with the Democrats, like across the board, right? None of them are who they appear to be or who they portray themselves to be. None of them. And none of them have ever lived. I mean, well, I don't know. Buddha Edge, like he was in the service. Although, like
Army.
People say he, yes.
Oh, but, no, I'm sorry. Scott Brown was Army. I finally found.
Oh.
Buddha Edge was Navy.
Yes. But everybody said he took the fast track and became an officer and he really didn't do anything.
Well, that's because he was an officer, and officers don't do anything.
Right. But that. He portrays himself as this kind of big gay war hero, right? Yeah,
my son would agree with you, Alan, by the way.
Everybody that's ever enlisted in the military would agree with me, Jay.
Yes.
And half the officers. But you're right, Brita.
He does, but he did serve. So.
Yes.
You know, it's good for you. Again, my big thing is that he's mayor of the, 400th largest city in America. Like, ooh, boy, whoop-de-doo. You're the tallest midget in the circus. Well, that's Bloomberg, but I'm sorry. I just can't help making the midget jokes with Mikey.
How tall is Bloomberg, anyway?
He's 5'6". He's not tiny, but.
Yeah, but compared to Trump, who's
it's clearly a source. Or compared to Barron, holy crap!
Yeah,
he's 14, and he's 6'8".
Yeah, there's basketball coaches across the nation that are looking at him, going, "Yeah,
dang."
He does not need to play basketball.
Need has nothing to do with it. It's like the football coach sees the you know 200-pound 10-year-old and goes, oh,
yeah. Yeah. We got a lineman. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess Joe Biden is pretending to be like a functioning human being.
Not very well.
Yeah, well. I mean, well, none of them are pretending very well. But, you know, Bloomberg's not pretending to be anything other than
himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. He's being not real, but he's being Bloomberg, which apparently is horrible.
Well, yeah.
Not apparently. There's no apparently about it. He is a horrible human being.
But, you know, the centrist Democrats are acting like he's the big great hope for this election cycle. He's their biggest hope.
Compared to the rest Bloomberg's of them.
Because
well,
he's yeah, the only centrist on that stage.
He's not a centrist.
Well, compared to the rest of them, he is.
That's a pretty left center.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Bloomberg's the dude that you weren't allowed to buy the big
yep.
soda pop, right?
Yep.
Come on.
From a business standpoint, he's very centrist. He doesn't want to tax them out of business like Bernie does. He doesn't want to put caps on how much they can make.
No, he just wants to outlaw everything. And
it's just stuff he doesn't like.
Okay, so here's a list of everything banned by Bloomberg. And it's funny because I'm going to read to it. Smoking in commercial establishments like bars and restaurants in 2003. Smoking in public places in 2011. Cigarette sales to those under 21 in 2013. Sales of flavored tobacco products in 2009. Smoking e-cigarettes in public places in 2013. Cigarette in-store displays in 2013. Cars in Times Square in 2009. Cars from driving the newly created bike lanes in 2007. Cars causing congestion below 60th Street in Manhattan, 2007. Speeding on residential slow zones, 2013. Illegal guns, whatever the hell that is, in 2006. Sodium levels in processed food, 2010. Trans fats in restaurants, 2006. Loud headphones in 2013.
Wow.
Styrofoam packaging in single service food items in 2013. Sodas larger than 16 ounces in 2012. Collection of yard waste and grass clippings during certain times of year in 2003. Organic food waste from landfills in 2013. Commercial music over 45 decibels in 2013. Now, do you know how loud 45 decibels is?
I do not.
Your cat,
that's like this conversation.
Your cat is louder than 45 decibels.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Chain restaurant menus without calorie counts in 2008. Posting of signs in city-owned grassy areas, 2013. Non-fuel-efficient cabs in 2007. New cabs that aren't Nissan NV200s in 2013. He banned greenhouse gas emissions in 2007. So apparently the entire city of New York was supposed to stop breathing or something.
Stop breathing, yes.
Or sweating or, you know, whatever. Government buildings that weren't LEED certified in 2005. Non-hurricane proof buildings in coastal areas in 2013. Black roofs in 2009. Construction cranes over 25 years old. Yeah. Number 6 and number 4 heavy heating oils in 2011. Less than a 2-to-1 ratio of male and female restrooms in new public buildings in 2005. Banned cell phones in schools in 2006. And banned 2-term limits for city elected officials in 2008. So,
wow.
The dude is a
fascist?
Busybody little fascist that literally.
But most of that list was things that he doesn't like.
Right.
You know, there wasn't a, you know, greater public good.
No, of course not. There never
is. It's just stuff he doesn't like to see.
So,
well, I'm not worried.
He also continued Giuliani's stop and frisk campaign,
which he was beaten about the head and shoulders with last night.
Which is arguably legitimate if the world was not a politically correct shithole.
You mean the use of stop and frisk was legitimate?
Well, I mean, the complaint about stop and frisk is it targets minorities. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But in New York and damn near every other place, minorities commit crimes far in excess of any other.
Yeah, crime. But that way lies the, what's that movie, the Minority Report.
Yeah.
Profiling.
Well, yeah,
it's just from a constitutional standpoint, it makes my skin crawl. But you know,
me too.
He's got a
go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, man's got a track record of shitting all over the Constitution. So
yeah, I know that's like the least
right,
of the things
right.
he's done, and yet that's the one that torques people off the most. You know, let's not even talk about the, you know, banning guns and the whole knife right. thing in New York City and, you know,
all the gravity other, knife.
Yeah, all the other shitty things that cesspit city deals with every day. But anyway. More centrist.
Yeah.
Than any other Democratic yep. candidate.
Yep. It's moderately frightening.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while the Democrats were having their dumpster fire, Trump had another rally where there was, what was there, like 60,000 people there? And another 28,000 that wanted in and couldn't? And
yeah.
And, you know.
Well, you know, that's kind of the one thing that I've been concerned about is that we're going to get, you know, the right is going to get complacent and not get out to vote in November. And then you see the turnout
yeah,
in New Hampshire.
They're going to vote.
For Trump, who's running unopposed. I mean, yes, Bill Weld is running against him. But, you know, I mean, that's Mike Tyson being challenged by, you know, Bill down the street who doesn't know how to fight, but, you know, saw Rocky once. Yeah. Bill Weld has as much chance of getting the Republican nomination as I do. Which is to say, zero.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's got no chance at all. Which kind of makes you wonder, why is he doing it?
I don't know. Here's a guy who, you know, was incredibly popular as far as, you know, he was an electable Republican, which, you know, means he was a Democrat, but he decided that he was done being governor of Massachusetts. He's going to go back into private practice, went in for a bit. Was nominated by Bill Clinton to be, I want to say, ambassador to Mexico, and was shot down by his own party for being too liberal.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared for 20 years. Because that was right around 2000, right before Clinton left. I want to say like 99. And they, I get, okay, 16 years. And then he shows up as the Libertarian Party's vice presidential candidate.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know, for that super pro-Constitution Libertarian Party, they picked Bill fucking Weld. This is a guy who proposed an assault weapon ban too draconian for Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And this is who the Libertarian Party's like, here's our new champion, Bill Weld. Huh? That's another thing. We're not hearing a lot from those fuckers this year.
Who?
The Libertarians. I'm hoping they realize that the pathetic showing they put up in 2016, which was probably the best chance they're ever going to get. You had two incredibly unlikable candidates. And they pulled, what, 3%? I think they did a little better than the Green Party.
Yeah.
Which nobody's ever heard of.
Well,
so,
yeah,
way to go, guys.
The you know, it's obvious to anybody that looks that the Libertarian Party is really the legal marijuana party. I mean, they don't really have anything else. I mean, they've, you know,
they have Vermin Supreme now. You know, I love Vermin Supreme. I mean, the guys, this is top quality political satire. Whoever this guy really is, I doff my shoe from my head for him, you know?
I don't know who Vermin Supreme is.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm too lazy to Google, so please enlighten me.
He's the Republican, the Libertarian nominee. He is, let's see, known for appearing with literally a boot on his head.
You know the
Gary Larson Far Side, how nature says do not touch, and there's a guy with an inner tube, a bazooka, and a shoe in his head. That's Vermin Supreme.
I see.
I an American performance artist. Yes.
Is this like the weird shit
from Massachusetts?
Boris Johnson had to stand next to like the
Lord Buckethead.
Yeah.
Buckethead. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's the American version of that. Yeah.
In fact, in the Wikipedia entry, one of the suggestions is Lord Buckethead.
Oh, there you go.
Vermin Supreme 2020, yeah. He's from Gloucester. Oh, my God.
Gloucester. How do you pronounce that, Jay?
Fucking Gloucester.
Is it like Gloucester?
He's from Gloucester, kid. That's it. That's where all them broads had that pack to get knocked up at the same time. Fucking retarded kid. Oh, yes. He has. Get your free pony. Help me get to a city near you. Vermin Supreme 2020. Oh, shit. He kind of looks like if you were to make a badge Chinese knockoff of Gandalf.
Damn.
Mix it with a dash of the hobo down in the corner. And then have them suffer the ravages of syphilis for a decade. You'd end up with Vermin Supreme. I really think he just does it for the publicity to, you know, be relevant every 4 years.
Of course he does.
You know. Anyway. But he's still more viable than any of the Democrats. That's the beauty.
Well, it's, you know, they you know, for basically since the country was founded, people have been telling other people, anybody can be president.
Yeah.
And some people believe that. So. My question is, are we all going to die from coronavirus before we have an election?
I'm betting on Lyme disease.
I am not.
I think it was manufactured. It escaped from a lab. And it appears to target people of Chinese genetic makeup.
Strange. Or Asian. Generally, right?
Right. Yeah, Chinese, Korean. Don't know about Japanese yet.
Chinese, Vietnamese, Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, all of these. But apparently I don't know if any Caucasian people have caught it and died. They appear to be more of the symptomless carrier types. which is
I'm not worried.
I'm worried for one reason.
That okay.
The just-in-time economy that has evolved over the last 20 years depends on China to make shit. And for the last month, China hadn't made shit.
Right.
And isn't going to okay. make shit for a while. So.
Well, Trump's going to create some more jobs.
Well, there's already, you know, they're already moving like, you know, like Apple and some of the other big manufacturers that rely on China have already moved a lot of production out of China, and they're moving more.
Oh my God.
What?
The liberals are going to be like, coronavirus is Trump.
Yes. It's
Trump created it.
I'm surprised we haven't seen that yet.
Oh, just wait. Oh,
I'm sure it's. Mm. I'm sure it's already been said somewhere.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, you know, after that crass campaign stunt of having the presidential limo do a lap at the Daytona 500.
Yeah, because presidents have never shown up at sporting events yes. ever in the history of yes. ever.
Yes. I just thought that was hysterical. Because, like, when you break it down, it was literally the difference in the fuel efficiency from the car idling to driving around the track. That's literally all that cost.
Well, because I think the fact that he was there at all and used, you know, his presidential limo, oh my God, but... that's his car. That's what they drive yep. him around in. That is his car.
Has to be in that car.
Yes. It's not optional.
I doubt the Secret Service would let him drive anything else.
And as Alan points out, there's a long history of presidents showing up at sporting events. You know, Barack Obama sitting next to Castro at a baseball game. Boom.
Oh, remember when Mr. Mom Jeans tried to throw out the first ball at that baseball game when he first got elected? Mm-hmm.
Was that what he was doing? I thought he was bowling.
Yeah, well, you know. It's hard to get a ball across the plate when you got to hitch up your mom jeans to try to make it.
But again, you know, again, it's history began yesterday, and none of that applies because shut up.
Right. Also, the whole pardoning thing. You remember this week? It was like, oh my God, Trump pardoned people.
Yep.
And then you look at the pardoning statistics.
Yep.
Of past presidents. And you see that Obama pardoned over twice as many.
64.
Yeah.
64. I looked it up. 64.
64 what?
Pardons by Obama.
No, it was more than that.
Okay.
It was like
over on this
1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going nuts about Blagojevich.
List of people granted executive Labor. Clemency by Barack Obama.
Yeah.
330. Why does it say 64 on Wikipedia?
On this day.
Oh.
That's where the 64 comes from. Yeah.
Before we move on to the pardons, I want to bring up the golf thing.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
Because, oh my God, they keep harping on Trump playing golf.
As though we didn't just get through 8 years of president always on the link. It's like, again, history began yesterday. They start talking like, are you honestly really doing this? You're really talking about Trump golfing.
Golf Digest, January 19th, 2017. We've crunched the numbers and it's official. President Obama played a lot, in all caps, of golf while in office. A lot, all caps.
Yeah.
And they're harping on Trump playing golf. I mean, yeah. Trump doesn't take a day off, as far as I'm aware. Like, he's constantly working, and he's constantly doing stuff. If the dude wants to play, and seriously, everybody, even the president of the United States, and frankly, I don't begrudge Obama his golf. Like, you need a little bit of downtime.
Right. You can't be president all the time.
No. But I have a feeling, because the way that I watched an interview. Okay, let me just confess right now that I've spent the past couple days like watching tons of Trump interviews, like from 1980 on. And one of the things I noticed was his consistency of message has not, I mean, his message has not changed at all since 1980. But from what I gathered from all these interviews is that, and especially that they did an interview. I think it was Larry King did an interview with Barack Obama and Donald Trump and Melania, right after they had gotten married. And it was really interesting because their marriage, first of all, seems very like a very traditional type marriage. Like, she's the wife, he's the husband, he does the work, you know, and she does her little thing. And but one of the things about him that she said is that he's always working. It's not because he's a workaholic, but because he loves what he's doing. It's like breathing to him. It's like, you know, that's just who he is and just what he does. So in my mind, he's probably the same about his presidency, right? Like, he's passionate about being president. He's passionate about the American people. And this is what he's doing. This is his job now. And so he does it all the time. I mean, he's on Twitter all the fucking time. So I can only imagine that he's president all the time.
Tweeting at like 2 a.m.
Right. So if the dude wants to play a round of golf once in a while, like, come on. Nobody, not even Barack Obama, can, you know, be on all the time. You need to play a little golf or whatever you need to do. Yeah.
You know, have an affair with Marilyn Monroe or.
Right. Whatever. You know. Who was the president who would shove his paramours into the broom closet? Who was that?
Kennedy?
No, it wasn't Kennedy. I think it may have been Franklin Roosevelt, actually. Anyway. But the golf thing has been bugging me because I keep on seeing it on all over the internet on these different websites. Like, oh, so, you know, Trump is playing golf again. It's like, we just spent 8 years of Barack Obama playing golf every other day with celebrities. You know, whatever. I'm over it. And frankly, I think the country's over.
It'll be funny when
I really think that the country is done listening to the media.
Well, it's interesting because it parallels the military service is important. No, it isn't. Because a president taking vacation was the most pressing thing ever when it was George Bush going to his ranch. Remember? They shit little fucking baby birds over, George Bush has spent more time in his ranch.
Yeah.
Barack Obama spends just as much time on Martha's Vineyard.
In Hawaii. Don't forget his vacations in Hawaii.
Oh, where he and his wife took separate planes. But, you know, those evil racist Republicans, the man can't even take a vacation with his family without them complaining. He's working so hard. And then Donald Trump plays golf at his own fucking golf club.
Right. He
owns the fucking club. Barack Obama would go to Martha's Vineyard, some of the most expensive real estate on the planet, to play golf as someone else's guest. No one ever mentioned that. You don't just show up at Martha's Vineyard saying, I think I'm going to play some golf today, guys.
especially if you're black.
Wow. Well, if you're president.
I bet he still only got in because he was somebody's guest. This is golf clubs at Martha's Vineyard we're talking about. This is like the whitest white there is.
Owns the golf course. This is his shit. And one of them is in Virginia. Oh, so when he wants to golf, he can literally get in the car and drive to his golf course.
Well, yes. Also, let's not forget that Trump is not taking a salary.
That's right.
You know, so let's just say that that's paying for all of his golf.
Yep.
You know.
He's also not gonna write a shitty book that no one wants to read and have all his sycophants in the Democratic Party buy 10,000 copies of it so he can make millions of dollars.
I believe Trump is already a number one bestseller.
Oh yeah. But he did Art that of the deal. He did that yep. on his own right
you yes.
know, before he was president. He's on track to be one of the few politicians to leave office poorer than he went in.
Okay. Yeah.
Because while he's president, he is not actively managing his financial assets. It is in a blind trust.
Art of the Deal, number one in New York Times bestseller list, stayed there for 13 weeks.
Wow.
There you go.
And altogether held a position on the list for 48 weeks. So pretty good.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
What are you drinking, Jay?
Oh, rum and Coke.
Oh.
And the further down you get, the more rum there is.
Is it a rum and Diet Coke?
Yes, it's a rum and Diet Coke.
You know what's really good with Diet Coke, but you got to really like licorice, is absinthe.
Mmm. Absinthe makes the heart grow fonder.
It does. Heart grow fonder, and then the heart forgets.
All this shit goes.
Yeah.
It's like one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor.
Yes. I have not had tequila, I think, since I was 25. My 25th. Mike, was that my 25th birthday? Yes. 25th birthday.
So 10 years ago.
Yes. I woke up the next morning. It was ugly.
That's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while here, too. Anyway, squirrels.
Yes.
I had a fun incident.
Yes, tell us about your incident.
Alan had an incident.
So Monday, I was driving to the dentist. Because it was a holiday.
Oh, I know what incident.
And all of a sudden, driving down the road, all of a sudden, it felt like I hit a pothole. And all of a sudden, my back driver's side tire was going thump 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 thump. I was like, oh,
isn't that the worst sound in the fucking world?
Yeah.
Do you have potholes in Texas?
Oh yeah, we have potholes. Not like you do.
Okay. Oh yeah, right.
No, they don't get frost heaves like. Well, I don't anymore.
We get a lot of potholes from because the ground heaves because it's a lot of clay in the soil. So as it dries and then gets wet again, it expands and contracts.
And then the snow plow comes by and takes the top off of it plow. And scrapes all the...
the what plow?
Yeah.
Alan, serious question, because I don't remember from when I was down there. Do they use a lot of concrete in the roads?
Yes.
In Texas? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Lots
of concrete. See, when you get areas that don't get a serious freeze-thaw cycle, it tends to be more prevalent. Which, for those that own motorcycles, is awesome. Because your kickstand doesn't sink into concrete in July.
Right. Now, they do use a lot of asphalt.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they do. But
it's still cheaper.
Right. The big highways and stuff like that, and especially in cities, the big interchanges and the highways and stuff like that are almost all concrete.
Yeah. See, and Breed is probably going, what the hell are they talking about? Because they don't use concrete where you get freeze thaw.
Right. Mm. Not as much.
Because concrete will pulverize.
What do we use then?
Asphalt. You just, you know, road tar and
No, we have concrete. I mean, we have like regular roads with concrete.
Like superhighways?
Yeah, like regular roads.
Because there's none. Like New England, there are no, there's no concrete.
Yeah, but that's New England. Come on.
Yeah.
That's.
We have concrete and we use salt. We don't give a fuck. We'll rebuild it.
Yeah, zero fucks given.
You got to be tough, Cleveland.
That's right.
Anyway, so my so anyway, tire sorry, starts going. That's fine. We can digress. It goes starts going thunk 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 thunk. I was trying to figure out what the so immediately pull over and I'm like, what the,
what could, the hell
what
happened?
Could kill my tire like that? And then I turn and I look and I see the tire. I see it slow the wheel slowly sinking down to the ground. And I'm like, what the? And but I didn't see anything obviously wrong. I didn't see like a big giant blown out gash or anything like that.
Right.
So I put it in gear and I pulled forward a few inches and over the top of the tire as it rolled around came this fucking crescent wrench.
Yeah. Like a big one.
Yeah.
Not like a little six inch one.
It's like a big pair of crescent channel locks, the big like foot long suckers. And I was like, what the? And I got out and looked, and somehow one end of the crescent, the channel lock things had embedded itself, basically punctured right through
the middle of the
tire.
Ugh.
And, fortunately, it was my Jeep, so it was really easy to change the tire. And so I had that done in like less than 10 minutes and was on my way. I even made it on time to my dentist appointment. And,
now, did you have a full size spare?
Oh, of course.
Like it matches the. Yeah. Okay, you'd have like a little donut. Kind of like a tripod.
For those of you who haven't seen it, this Jeep has 3.5 inches of lift, and it's got the inches. The tires are 35-inch, BF Goodrich, Goodrich all terrain tires. So they're big. They're also expensive. But when I got them, I paid a little bit extra for the road hazard insurance.
Smart man.
Because I knew that there was a pretty good chance that I would be driving, if not off-road, and at least in places where, there might be some issues, and that covered
replacement.
So I took it back by Discount Tire, and they said, oh, we got to order one. So they had one in by the next day, and I drove it up there. And so I got it up there a little after lunch, and there's like 10, 15 guys in this tire place, and there's like zero business. And so suddenly everybody's congregating around the back of my Jeep, because the flat spare with the wrench embedded in it is hanging on the back, and they're everybody standing around looking at it, and then because it's a bunch of guys, the one up story started on the worst things that stuck in a tire.
It was a piece of Skylab.
I think the guy that won just found somebody had a hoe stuck in a tire, like a garden hoe.
They prefer the term tramp American, Alan.
So anyway, got the tire replaced for free, and the guy goes, "You want to renew the insurance, the road hazard insurance on that?" I said, "Hell yeah."
Hopefully this is a once in a lifetime event.
Oh, I've got a lot of screws and nails and stuff like that stuck in tires, but that's the biggest worst thing I've ever done. Now, in fact, the guy at the tire shop, he goes, you want those pliers back? And I said, well, they're not mine. And no, he goes, well, if you don't want them back, I'm going to put that tire on display here in the waiting room. And he did, he wheeled it out and stuck it right there in the middle of the place. I was like, what are you going to use that as an example to show people why they need to buy the road hazard insurance?
Yes.
He said, Alan, absolutely.
we deal with the garage here in Virginia called Virginia Tire and Auto. There's one like 2 miles from our house. Oil changes, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have a big ass glass jar on the counter filled with shit they've pulled out of tires. I mean, screwdrivers, wrenches, bolts, just If you can think of it, they pulled it out of a tire. I mean, it's like fire extinguishers and shit, you know. All right, what the hell?
Yeah, what are people driving over?
You
know, nails and screws, that's, you know, I can kind of, that's totally understandable. But some of this other stuff, until it happened to me, I wouldn't have believed that you could cram a pair of channel locks into a tire like that. But damn if you can't.
Dear Goodyear Forum, I never thought it would happen to me. I actually had a very similar incident when I had my black Dodge Ram. I ran over something. I never saw it. It didn't actually stick. It just, when I ran over it, it punctured the tire and fell out. But same thing. It was immediately I heard, fuck, pull over, get the spare on, keep going. Beautiful thing about the pickup truck, of course, you just throw the tire in the back.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, fuck, because there was like a 3-inch gash in the sidewall. I was like, God damn, because that's, you got to replace the tire. Yep,
not fixing that.
Yeah. What size rims does your Jeep have? I'm just curious.
17-inch diameter, 9 inches wide.
Oh, okay. So those are more reasonable than the goddamn 20-inch rims I had on the Ram.
I have 20 inches on my F-150.
Oh, God. Part of the reason I got rid of it was it got 12 miles to the gallon, but it had 20-inch rims and tires were, I'm not kidding, I got a quote for $1,600 for 4 new tires for that truck.
Yeah, my tires on my truck aren't that big. Of course, it's not four-wheel drive either, so.
I was like, yep, time to trade them in.
Yeah. So.
And then the stupid car I got has 18-inch rims, which are just as expensive. God damn it, I can't win.
Well, I had 16-inch on there, but
and we're clicking clacking, and Brita's going to fall dead of boredom. So anyway,
I just wanted to say this one more thing about the wheels. The reason I have 17s is because the original stock brakes were not designed for 35-inch tires.
Yeah,
and
it's very important to match your brakes.
Right, I had to put a larger brake rotor, and a larger brake rotor wouldn't fit on the 16s. It would fit on the 17s, which is why I have 17s.
We going to many, many years ago, my mom had a Chevy Lumina. What a piece of crap. And from the factory, it came with brakes that were too small. It was a mid-size car, and when they designed it, they put brakes from a compact car on it.
Nice.
So they were prone to failure because they were too small. And several, more on more than one occasion, my mom went to stop the car, put her foot on the brake, and pushed the pedal into the floor with no sign of it actually stopping.
I bet Brita's car has good brakes.
Brita's car just like destroys walls. You know, if you can't stop,
had a problem so far.
How many times have you had an animal run out in front of you?
Street just today.
The crazy between the deer and the squirrels and the everything else that run around.
Just today I had a squirrel and two deer. Yeah. So
yikes.
Yeah. The deer,
you got to have good brakes.
Yeah. And I have a big car.
You have an awesome car. Your car has
An
8-body trunk. I love it.
You know,
I love my car. It's dorky and it's like old. I think my car is 15 years old now. Yeah, 15 years old. And it's kind of, the body is kind of rusty and she's got some problems and we can't figure out why the heat doesn't work all the time. And, you know, it's like one of those things. But, oh, man, like when I'm driving it and I want to go, I just push that pedal and I go. I feel like I'm launching a rocket. It's so good. Like, and I love like my grandma car, like leaving people in the dust. I love it. And I'm going to be really sad when Joyce has to go. I'm going to be sad. I've been thinking about like, can I just like take her insides and put it inside a different car? Because that's all I want is like a, you know, I put my toe into it and I just boom, go. I love that.
If it weren't,
I'm not like I don't need a fancy car. I don't need like the stereo system. I don't need like the cameras all over like Alan has in his truck. I don't need like I don't need the fancy stuff. I just want like heat and to be able to go when I want to go. That's all I want.
Yeah, they don't make cars like that anymore.
It's sad. Like, I just feel like how much longer does Joyce have before like her body rusts apart or like. You know, whatever. I'm going to hang on with my fingernails until the very last moment because I love her.
The feds it's Cleveland. They ruined toilets. They ruined dishwashers. They ruined washing machines. Everything. And they ruined cars.
Ruin everything.
Yeah.
Everything. That's all you need to know. The government gets involved. It's ruined. Yep. Light bulbs. It's very sad. They fucked up light bulbs for Christ's sake.
You can't tell. Look. Okay. So the reason pickup truck sales have gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the pickup trucks that are selling, these are not trucks that the plumber uses.
Right. No.
These are big. these are large sedan replacement vehicles.
Yep. Yeah. Well, 20 years ago, when SUVs were the big thing.
Right.
Right.
You know, when everyone, it was like SUVs. Why are they selling all these SUVs? It's a loophole. No, it's not a fucking loophole. It's a truck. It's built on a truck frame. Trucks have different standards than automobiles. You managed to murder the large American car.
Right. If they got rid of those fleet fuel economy standards and brought back cars the size of Joyce, they would sell like crazy because that's what people want. They don't want the little shitty Econobox.
The last,
well, some people do, but you know what? Look at you can't tell me that everybody that's buying these giant SUVs and giant trucks wouldn't be more happy in a modern version of what Breida drives, which is a large four-door sedan with a V8 in it that sits six adults comfortably inside.
Really comfortably.
With a giant-ass trunk in the back.
And all SUVs are the 1980 station wagon.
Yeah.
Think about before the minivan.
Yep.
It was the station wagon.
Yep.
The family truckster from National Lampoon's Vacation. The Brady Bunch.
Yep.
It was just a big-ass American car with a station wagon.
Yep.
And that's all an SUV is.
Yep.
It's on a truck frame.
So it doesn't have to comply with the fleet?
Exactly. But it's a big station wagon. But you know, my Durango.
Your car gets good mileage, though, Breida. I mean, it gets.
Yeah, I mean, well, we don't, you know. Yeah, it does.
It doesn't get 30 for what it miles is. Yeah. Per gallon, but it gets, you know, it probably gets 18, 19.
No, it does pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
So.
My car may not be pretty. But I can definitely pass you on the highway when I want to.
I like those. I think those, they still make, every time I see one, I'm still stuck thinking it's a cop car.
That's changing though. Cause they,
it's annoying. Well, it is changing. I've noticed that when we first got the car, we get behind people at night, people would slow down, considerably slow down. It's annoying because I just want to go, but, it has changed. People don't recognize us as a cop so much anymore. So.
Well, it's transitioned mostly to the Charger and the Taurus.
Yeah.
And really the Explorer.
And the Explorer,
is the big one now. But, I mean, I think they stopped making that body in 2012, I want to say.
12,
So, it's been 8 years. Most agencies have rotated them out by now.
Yeah, nobody's using those anymore.
You know, if you see a cop car that's a Crown Vic, you're like, that's a rookie.
Yeah, you got the shitty car.
He's got the old car. You got the shit box.
Yeah.
I grew up in a cop family. I know how bad cops are on transmissions. Oh, yeah. And basically, by the time you've blown the second transmission, they're like, yeah, no. It goes off to surplus.
Cops invented drive it like you stole it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've always had a fundamental problem with that phrase, because if I stole a car, I would want to drive it nice and responsibly, right at the speed limit, and signal all my turns.
Yeah.
I think the phrase should be drive it like it's a rental.
There you go.
Because I don't know about you guys, but when I get a rental, I'm I'm going 30. What happens if I put it in park?
No.
You know what? They always, you know, everybody always says it's, you know, don't get the insurance when you rent the car because it's a ripoff and all this kind of stuff. I look at it and I go, $10 a day to walk away from anything? Fuck yeah, I'm taking that.
We're rolling out of the firing line. Sure, I got the extra insurance.
Yeah. You know.
I don't think it covers bullet holes. It says everything. That's right there.
You can walk away from anything that happens to that car. So,
So Joyce, I like that. It's like, is that Joyce for James Joyce? Or is that?
No, it's Joyce because it was the previous owner of the car.
The actress who played, the dark-haired woman on Three's Company was Joyce something. I'm like, this is like the most obscure reference ever.
The one who wasn't Suzanne Somers?
Exactly.
I always thought she was like Janet. Her name was Janet, right?
On the show.
Yes. Janet, thank you. And
Joyce DeWitt.
Yes. Oh, great. My gosh. Wow. Great.
Still alive. Still alive.
Kind of vaguely Joan Jett-ish.
Oh, my God. We have the same haircut. Oh, I've got the. Oh, my God.
You've got the full Joyce DeWitt.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but her hair's dark.
Thanks, Alan. But yes. Oh, my God. I've got the mullet.
You know what? Awesome. She looks really good for 70.
Oh, well, she's not that much older than you, Alan.
She's a lot older than me.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. Well,
it, no.
Yes, she is, too.
You know, Madonna is 60 and her boyfriend is 25. So Joyce DeWitt is not that much older than you.
God, 70. Oh, my God.
She does look good.
Yeah.
I've got the mullet from the 80s. I'm excited.
Yeah. She's got the full Joyce DeWitt.
I do.
I wonder, like, awesome. if she, like, did she do anything else?
Yes. I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Well,
nothing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she did, like, the ABC movie of the week.
But, right. Yeah, that stuff.
You know, I.
She was in a few movies. She was an extra.
She did a lot of stuff on stage, actually. A lot of stage acting. So,
like, actually, if you look at her filmography, there's literally like 9.
Mm-hmm.
7. I'm sorry. 7. And it's like every like 3 years, roughly.
She's on more. Love Boat.
She's done more. Everyone was on Love Boat. She's on Beretta.
Yeah.
Wow. But basically, like, yeah, through the 70s, real big in the 70s, kind of tapered in the 80s, a tiny little bit in the 90s, couple of appearances in the aughts, and then, yeah, no, fell off the planet.
Well,
I always thought she was the coolest. Anyway, before we go, I have a recipe.
Okay.
A recipe.
Yes.
A recipe.
Kind of like a nod to our old thing where we all had segments. I have a recipe, and it was kind of it's not really a recipe. It's a technique, perhaps, or a... Anyway, so Mike and I, we like to make lots of meat in a crock pot, like at the beginning of the week, and then kind of use it during the week for different things. So, you know, I'll make
meat. I thought you said mead. I was like, oh, damn.
No. Well, that would be nice too, but no meat.
That's kind of awesome.
And so, you know, we'd make like, you know, big pork loin roast in the crock pot and use that throughout the week for like tacos or stir fry or, you know, whatever, quick dinner.
God damn it. Now I'm hungry.
I'm sorry. Well, this is not going to get much better for you because,
oh, damn it.
Okay, so I think it was last week that we're trying to decide, and we have a freezer in the basement that we keep, like, you know, we buy, when meat's on sale, we'll buy extra meat and just put in the freezer, mm-hmm. and, you know, that sort of thing. And yep. And so I've been trying to make a point of sending Mike down to the freezer to find out what we have down there. And
that's my job.
Right?
Yes. I totally know this.
What is in the freezer? What can we make? And so Mike went down and he said, well, we've got all these chuck roasts in the freezer, because apparently at some point chuck roasts were on sale and we bought a bunch of them. And he brought one up and he said, okay, I'm going to just put it in the fridge. We'll let it thaw. And I didn't really know what to do with it. I had no plans for the chuck roast. You know, I just figured, well, I'll just make it kind of a generic chuck roast thing with, like, maybe like salt, pepper, garlic, maybe a little something, something else, but kind of generic that we could use it for anything, really, like tacos or you know, whatever. So, or
chuck,
you know,
tacos,
barbecued beef, like, right. So chuck roast is that cut of beef where it's got lots of marbling and lots of connective tissue, and you sear it and then you braise it for a long, long time. And then, like, you can shred it. I mean, it's like that roast that when you cut it, you can cut it with a fork and it just kind of like shreds apart, and it's really, really soft and tender and wonderful. It's actually I think it is my favorite cut of meat. I love that texture. Anyway, so we had this chuck roast and it was in the fridge and it was thawed, and Mike had the great idea, and I'm giving you credit because I did not think of this myself. He said, well, we have chili mix and we have all the stuff to make chili.
Ooh.
And we have, brilliant, thank you, idea. Alan, we have like, you know, all this tomato stuff. And also Alan had given us, or I think I bought it while I was in Texas the last time. I think I bought like 10 boxes of yes, Wick Fowler's Wick Fowler's chili mix. And so we had that. And Mike said to me, well, why don't we just use the chuck roast to make the chili? And I said, okay, but don't cube it up too small. Just like make bigger chunks and brown it really good and then put in the crock pot with the chili stuff, like the regular, like, you know, tomato sauce and diced tomatoes and the chili mix in the box. And I have to tell you that it was one of the most delicious chili things I've ever had in my life. And I'm, you know, I think it was textural because, like, you know, you got that soft, really soft meat and you can like eat it with a taco or like on potatoes or rice or whatever, but it was so good. So highly recommend, next time you do a chili, use chuck roast and cook it for freaking, I think it was in the crock pot at least like 8 or 9 hours on low, and it was amazing. So, because, you know, the beef shreds apart and then all the chili flavor gets inside all of that beef. Delicious.
Oh.
High recommend. Yep. Everybody's
now
thinking.
But I'm hungry.
Everybody's yeah. thinking like, oh,
like, oh,
chili.
God, now I'm going to go cook some.
Yeah. We did add corn and beans, so Alan wouldn't think it was chili.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
You already had chili con carne, so.
Yeah, right. Very good. Anyway, that's my recommendation recipe for the week. And I think we're done with the show. Is Alan hungry. Gone? Did we lose Alan?
We lost Alan. He went up to check on his tires. He wanted to make sure there wasn't
Is
like
the
an
show
air
still
compressor.
On?
I don't know.
Are we talking to no one? Are we
it's
talking
just,
to ourselves?
It's just you and me, Brita. It's
what
the
heck is going
show.
On? Okay.
I think Alan went to the bathroom.
No,
My cats made a loud noise out there, and I had to go see what was going on.
You had to make sure that there wasn't like a, you know, a masked killer in your house.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everything okay?
I was sure it was a cat. I just wanted to see what they knocked over.
So. Oh. What did you break this time?
Yeah. There's Jay and I
were thinking that there's nobody there to like push the stop button. We'd have to keep talking forever.
We just have to keep going.
Twilight Zone.
3 hours later.
I go in the living room and there's three cats sitting there like, what? We weren't doing anything.
Yeah, I didn't do nothing. You didn't see me. You can't prove anything. You ain't pinning this on me, yeah. Andros.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you mugs. All right. Well, I wonder what stupidity we'll be talking about next week. Woohoo!
I'm going to a four-wheel drive off-road park in the hills of Texas near Austin.
You're such a dork, Alan.
So
I'm super jealous.
I might.
Jeep
I might,
dork.
I might do something stupid there that we can talk about. You never know.
I'm sure that someone will do something in traffic that I want to murder them for, but that's par for the course.
Surely the Democrats will do something idiotic because, you know, that's what they do.
Trump will tweet something that makes people's heads explode.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually the heat death of the universe will devour us all. So.
Not before I devour it first.
Rita's like, I'm going to put that shit on some tacos. Woo-hoo!
With some sriracha.
That's right. And Bucky's sauce. Is that a thing? Is that even a thing? Does Bucky's have its own sauce?
Bucky's has all the sauce.
They have everything.
Bucky's has like shelves and shelves of sauce and salsa and preserves and...
Oh, now I'm really hungry.
Sorry.
Well, go eat, Jay.
I'm going to go have a snack. I'm going to have my pretzels and hummus.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. I love my pretzels and hummus.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend. And
okay.
Same squirrel time. Same squirrel time.
What was the new title of the show?
The dog face, lying dog face pony soldier show.
Yeah. That.
Oh, goodness. All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.